Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, July 26th. Colorado's State Healthcare Exchange has brought down costs, improved its website, and reduced wait times, according to an audit released Tuesday. The audit comes as the U.S. Senate voted to begin debate on overhauling the nation's health insurance laws and repealing Obamacare. Bensa Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Connect for Health Colorado operates independently of state government and is how individuals can shop for health insurance plans under the Affordable Care Act. The audit says the exchange is financially sustainable and less than a third of customers have trouble navigating the website. That's compared to about half of customers a few years ago. But CEO Kevin Patterson says there are still customer complaints.
Price. That was one of the top. The other one in the top was the plan that I had available wasn't there for me this next year because we've had a lot of shifting in the industry.
The audit did reveal that the exchange doesn't manage and track the complaint process well, nor is it especially easy for the public to file an appeal and have it resolved quickly. Patterson says those issues will be addressed in the coming months. Nearly 180,000 Coloradans receive health insurance through the exchange. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
More than 500 community sites across the state are providing free meals to kids in a summer meals program. Eric Galatis has the story.
Kids don't lose their appetites when school cafeterias close for summer, so Colorado's summer meal program is stepping up, serving free meals in more than 500 locations across the state to all children up to age 18. Amanda Suriano supervises a site in Denver's Five Points neighborhood. She says many families just don't have the financial resources to make up for lost school meals, and making sure kids have healthy food during summer break gives them the fuel they need to get back to the classroom ready to learn.
Here at Glen Arm Recreation Center, we serve lunch and snack during the summer. We're just here to make sure that we're serving these kiddos these nutritious, flavorful meals and that they're available to them and accessible.
Colorado's Summer Food Service Program is a collaboration between government agencies, nonprofit, and community-based organizations, and is funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Serving locations can be found online at kidsfoodfinder.org or by calling Hunger Free Colorado's toll-free hotline at 855-855-4626. Community-based sites are offering free breakfasts, lunches, suppers, and snacks that meet federal nutrition guidelines. There are no income or registration requirements. Kids can just show up and eat. Suriano says in addition to open swimming and basketball, her program also offers instructor-led activities to help children exercise their minds and bodies.
Paper mache, building aquariums, making homemade soaps. It's a variety of quality programming. It's safe, fun, and engaging for the kids.
Glen Arm also challenges kids with a weekly riddle, and if they guess the right answer, they win a prize. Last week's example, I'm tall when I'm young, short when I'm old, what am I? I'm a candle. Suriano says kids love the food, but they also appreciate the fact that there's a welcoming, safe space created just for them that they can depend on. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Many western states look to Wyoming as an example for how to treat salt wastewater that is left over from fracking. Regulations and legal battles make the process much more complicated. For Inside Energy, Madeline Beck reports that cleanup costs sometimes get passed on to taxpayers.
Wastewater ponds aren't what I expected. I stood on a road surrounded by four of these ponds in Bell, Wyoming. I couldn't help but admiring the fountains. They look like something that should be in front of a Las Vegas casino, fanning out in all directions, shooting up several feet. Of course, the fountains aren't for looks. They help evaporate the water and hold off bacteria, keeping the smell down.
And when we'll come out here, you'll smell a little bit of an odor coming off of these ponds, the produced water odor, but it's not that strong.
It's a kind of tangy plastic smell. That was Jerry Hamel. He manages this facility called Grasslands Environmental. He's actually a self-proclaimed environmentalist himself. He explained it as the wind picked up.
What's a better place for me to protect the environment than within the industry to ensure that we are taking care of it?
Driving around Grasslands Landfill, he stops to show how his operations try to protect wildlife. We see a small bird, a mother killdeer, waddling in front of us, trying to distract us away from her nest. Hamel points out the passenger window.
That dark gray and that little bit of green, It's that those dark gray rocks. There's a nest right square in the middle of them.
Right here?
Yeah.
Aha! There they are!
When this pond started operations in 2014, Hamel's company paid state regulators a bond, essentially insurance, to cover eventual cleanup costs. Not all of Wyoming's 35 permitted commercial ponds are required to pay this bond, though. 11 older ponds were permitted before 1989. There was no bond requirement back then. If those companies go under, taxpayers could be stuck with a cleanup bill of between $7 and $9 million total. It's happened in the past. One commercial wastewater pond in Sublette County, Wyoming, had to be remediated by the state at a cost of $750,000. Regulators are now hoping to make sure that doesn't happen again. Earlier this summer, a state advisory board voted to require bonds on the older ponds. Hamel is supportive, saying his company has already gone above and beyond state regs to make sure the area stays clean and protects the environment.
The majority of facilities don't have the level of protection that Grasslands does. It came at a cost. This facility cost about three times what comparable facilities that can handle this much water cost to build.
But the new bonds are not good news for pond owner Dennis Lawrence.
The bottom line is we don't have the money. We're not in operation. Our corporation has no money.
Lawrence is co-owner of the Parkman Reservoir, an older wastewater pond in northeast Wyoming that is currently unbonded. He says he's been fighting legal battles and paying fines over the years as regulations changed. His berms were too low, his netting inadequate. One dispute saddled him with a bill of more than $240,000 from the Environmental Protection Agency. The agency noted that contaminants like oil had made their way into his open-air evaporation pond, making for a, quote, imminent threat to the environment. If the state starts requiring additional financial assurances, he says he won't be able to pay.
You know, I know it sits back there, don't have the final solution. I've lost many sleepless nights worrying about, being fined, being done whatever, going back to court again. It's not a pleasant experience.
The regulation is not yet a done deal, and Keith Giel of the Department of Environmental Quality wants companies to come forward in the meantime if they have concerns.
We believe the natural resources, the environment, and industry itself can coexist, and that's why we have these rules and regulations.
Given the huge volumes of wastewater produced, cleanup and management is a challenge for all states involved in oil and gas production. Ponds are problematic, but so are injection wells, which have been proven in Texas and Oklahoma to be linked to earthquakes. The latest trend? Finding cost-effective ways to recycle and reuse the wastewater. For Inside Energy, I'm Madeline Beck.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.